Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Oh, Lord, yes we do. Each episode, we invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about relationships, sex, and every goddamn thing in between.
Hey, babe.
Oh, lover.
What's going on in between?
In between? What's going on in between these two plaid pieces that we're wearing?
Yeah, we look very Brooklyn today.
Oh, we're so Brooklyn today. Brooklyn in love, life, lust. What? Okay.
Okay.
Well, who else do we have in love, life, and lust in
we
the
have
studio?
A killer broad with us in the studio today.
Yes, we do. She has been a writer and a producer for many TV programs, Bored to Death, which was so goddamn good. How I Met Your Mother, and also she wrote for Psych.
Yeah.
And we have seen your pretty face in Knocked Up and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So people have seen you.
Briefly.
People have heard.
They've heard your words come out of other people's mouths.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We're talking to Tammy Sager.
Tammy Sager.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Great to have you.
It's great to be here. You guys move in sync to that music.
Oh, it's once it gets into your bones. Yeah.
It's the only song I listen to.
Yeah, that's how we go to bed every night, as we put that on the headphones on the old Walkman. We go to bed. So we also like to, we fancy ourselves a classy podcast, and we're like, we like to take care of our guests, so
yeah,
we wine and
dine. Yeah, we're not like those scummy podcasts down the road.
You know, we won't mention any names, but the one down the road that doesn't wine and dine their guests. So we asked you what you wanted to drink, and your beverage of choice was Coke Zero.
Well, and
possibly the least sexy drink.
I wrote that on the card.
Did
no
you write
card.
Down the least sexy drink?
Yeah, I wrote the sexiest drink, ? Well, caffeine is sexy.
All right.
That gets you
because if you drink enough of it,
you get all jittery.
Yeah, and you're like crazy, and then
if you had come in here with caffeine-free Coke Zero, we would have been But what?
Can I actually get a little of that?
You want a little? Yeah.
Thank you, darling.
Let's crack open this.
Crack open. Tell us about Coke Zero. What is the zero for?
I think it's
zero calories.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Isn't Diet Coke zero calories
no.
though?
It is. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Oh.
So then I'm wondering what the difference.
It's just
what's
a
the
different chemical composition.
So
still
it's not
toxic.
The aspartame or whatever.
Wow. Oh yeah, I think it might be.
What is it here? Finkel.
No, this is aspartame.
It is.
Doesn't
maybe,
that give
maybe
you
Diet Coke is NutraSweet?
Oh yeah,
it gives you tumors and dementia, and I have a horrible memory, and it's all terrible.
And we just covered this.
Crippling depression.
On your Twitter, it says recovering.
But zero calories.
Coke Zero addict, and here you are drinking Coke Zero.
I know, because
relapse.
It is totally relapse, because first it said Coke Zero addict, and then I quit the fucker for like 8 months, something considerable.
I don't need you anymore.
Oof. And then, and it was such a bad coming off of it that I was like, thank God I only have to go through this once. Mm. And then I picked up again.
Nice.
Now, did you substitute anything for it, or you just went cold turkey?
No. I went cold turkey. Although I still was like, you know what? If I am absolutely need to drink soda, then I will drink non-diet sodas.
Oh.
Like, because I feel like they're, or cane sugar ones.
Oh,
like,
the Mexican Coke
is
great.
It is.
It's got the natural sugar.
And I also didn't need to drink like six of them a day.
Yeah.
Like I would drink a one and then be like, okay, that was my treat.
Yeah.
So you just moved back from LA.
Yeah, like 3 months ago.
Where like Coke Zero is probably all the rage. And now you're, but now you're in
trending
here
is Coke
and Bloomberg is telling you no soda.
No soda.
I don't
is
mind
that,
that
affecting
long.
Your life.
No, not at all. First of all, I think it didn't pass or got repealed. But
I don't know what's going on.
Bloomberg's losing all over town. His Stop and Frisk went straight to hell, and now his Coke.
I have to say though,
soda ban didn't pass.
Yeah, somebody told me that it got like repealed or something.
I totally thought.
So you're
that.
With
I thought
the soda
it passed
because
too.
Of diabetes.
Well, I'm totally with the soda because I do, as someone who's addicted, I'm like, you know what, it is addictive, and
is.
I also think it's. It's not banning soda. It's just saying don't sell it in like 64-ounce containers.
Don't make the norm like
exactly,
huge.
Because that's what I think. I mean, I know me and I know like visually I'm like, well, this isn't that bad. This is the small. But if the small
is
30 ounces.
The movie theater, it's the thing. I mean, last time we went to the theater and got a small soda, because a lot of times we'll just smuggle in booze and we don't, you know, buy maybe some popcorn. But we got sodas and there were. It was like the small was the fattest tub. They make it short. But they make it wide.
Yeah,
very thick. The girth on that soda was hard to handle.
It's sexy.
Soup can.
It's sexy.
Well, I mean, it looks good, but it's going to give you an early grave.
Wait, what movie are you talking about? Is that the one where I jerked you off?
That theater was, did we get a, we got a small cherry. We got a cherry Coca-Cola for that.
I'll never forget that Coca-Cola.
Oh, your greasy popcorn hands were so nice.
Okay. Oh. That fake butter just lubes up really nice.
Sure it does. Okay, so now that we've exhausted the sensuality of the colas.
I was trying to bring us back to hearts and parts.
Hearts and parts.
We can't talk about soda all day.
No, no, no.
Jeez please.
But there is some science behind soda. Oh, that hurt coming out. That hurt coming out. But you know what?
It hurt going in, too.
Like the president of Segway who fell off a cliff and died. Like, that's what happened to that Segway.
Yeah. Just died. You just drove that Segway off.
Right into a brick wall for sexy science. All right, so.
The shortest smooth drop. Yeah. It's not even a drop. It's a drop.
It's a drop.
It's not. It's also not. She blinded me with science. It's poetry in motion. Don't sue.
Sample it. All right.
Let's halfway go.
This article
into
is entitled
"Damaged Goods." Nope.
Nope.
Porn stars have higher self-esteem than other women. So we rip articles from the headlines.
From the headlines.
We like to combine our loves of science and sex. And this article was a study that was done.
People assume that porn stars have had like checkered pasts or are drug addicts or whatever.
It's an unfortunate stereotype.
They actually did a study of 177 female porn stars between 18 and 50 years old, average age of 26. And it turns out that not only do they not have higher levels of like sex abuse and drug addiction and STDs and stuff, but they're also more mentally healthy in a lot of ways.
More spiritually in touch.
Yeah, because like. They celebrate pleasure in a way that makes their life more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
This is a study. This is a study that was done.
Really?
Yeah.
Who did this study?
Yeah.
James D. Griffith and Shippensburg.
This is Vivid Video study.
To not feel guilty about porn.
Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
Oh, Shippensburg.
Yeah. James D. Griffith.
No one's heard of that.
James D. Griffith.
Have you heard of Shippensburg?
No, I'm from Pennsylvania, so I have. But the only reason I have is because I'm from Pennsylvania.
But I just read this before, though.
Huh.
That people assume these things where they're like, oh, these are just like damaged folks.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably some amateur porn. You get that a little bit. But they're saying that people that are actually seriously part of the industry are just like healthy sexual people.
So we'll quickly run through this. Here's what they say.
We'll explain it to you, and then you tell us why it's wrong.
So compared with a control group that they took of non-porn actresses, they were much more likely to be bisexual.
Now, was it compared to a group of actresses? Because then I believe it.
Love me.
I don't believe it was actresses. I think it was just ladies off the street.
Just ladies.
But they were more likely to be bisexual. So out of the control group, 7% were bisexual, whereas 67% out of the porn actresses were bisexual.
I believe it.
They also started having sex at an earlier age. They had more sexual partners, not including in their line of work. And they also said that they enjoyed sex more and were more concerned about contracting STDs.
Yeah, which goes with more partners.
They reported more marijuana use more different types of drug use. But the key differences were the porn stars were no more likely and actually less likely to be victims of childhood sex abuse. And they were significantly higher sexual satisfaction, positive feelings, social support, and spirituality.
All right.
So there's pros and cons, I guess.
They were more likely to have, good sex.
And here's my question is always with this, is it because of the stigma or is it because of the business itself? Because I think it's the idea that, I mean.
Well, I'll say this about the childhood sexual abuse is I would want to know the numbers because then I also feel like, I know a lot of people who were abused as kids. Like
Like
that's also just a sad.
That's just a sad reality.
Reality of humanity.
So was it marginal? Yeah.
They are in a community that I think is very sex positive and,
which is a good thing.
Yeah. And they go you always hear about porn karaoke night in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like
always hear about it.
I just can't stop hearing about it. So have you been?
No, I haven't. But I know people who go.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who's, I don't know. But that's less about porn and more about
karaoke.
No, the Valley and karaoke. I don't love karaoke.
I don't love it either because it's more often than not just sloppy and terrible.
Well,
I love karaoke.
I find it so terrifying.
Really?
To do. Oh, I just could not feel more exposed than even when there's like the small private rooms. I still need
you
to do
to
it with somebody.
You have to just find a song you're going to kill.
Yeah, but I don't even know how to begin to do that.
To kill a song.
No, I have a list. I just added that Usher song that's like, we're gonna take it nice and slow. I'm not killing it.
Yeah, it was.
Some might say you're murdering it.
No, it's like, tell me, do you want to get freaky? And there's a great rap part. It's just something where if you know it, it's really
it's
easy
fun.
To make it sound good.
Awesome. Well, but I think maybe the reason that there's this this legendary it's like, oh, this old number? Okay, maybe. But the reason that they kill porn star karaoke is because they're so confident and exposed. So
absolutely.
Like you're saying, if you feel exposed when you're doing karaoke. There's probably a lot of things that porn stars are more comfortable doing because they're like, fuck it, I've bared it all. I've been out there, so I'm not, you know, I'm not sweating a lot of this
stuff. Also makes sense to me because I think people who live with guilt and fear in like this like puritanical way are going to not take pleasure in as many things, and that could be sex or anything else. So if you're at a place where like you're celebrating your body and you're celebrating pleasure, it does make sense to me that you would have that you would be mentally healthier.
Absolutely.
If you're doing it like the way that this article suggests.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's always great.
I don't know that like monetizing it is necessarily a celebration of pleasure. Like,
But loving your job. Like we're all doing shit for money.
If they're loving their job, absolutely.
But not all of them are. But not everyone is.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, I lived in Amsterdam for 7 months and
the red light district.
I couldn't be a bigger supporter of that. Like it was just.
It's
so
just
much
fun.
Better than.
And when it's regulated and when it's
and they're
it's
just
open
taken
and,
care of health wise and that. Like,
it's weird though. When I was in Amsterdam, I would walk by and there'd be a nice place and excited. And then you'd walk by and there'd be like a sad woman sitting in the window. And then a haggard, disgusting man would walk in and she would disappear from the window. And then you'd go into a bar and a sad old woman would be shooting ping pong balls out of her coot. And then I was like, that's sad.
It is sad, absolutely, but I still think it's better than what happens here.
It's much better than what happens here.
Well,
and
it's
also,
I get sad. Sorry, really quickly. I get sad sometimes when I see someone doing any job that looks really.
That's
what
I mean? That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
But that to me is with porn. Like I can't get into it. Also, because they're not good actors, so there's also part of me that
the exposition is always trash.
I can't even. Yeah. So it's also like I just worry about them as people. Like what. I mean, maybe if they're, it sounds to me like they talk to all people who are like, yeah, I'm going to take this fucking questionnaire. And like, I mean, to me, that also gets into the difficulty of social sciences. Like, the way that you set up an experiment will so depend on what the answers will be.
And 177 people, is that really enough for the entire history of pornography and the study? And like you said, who was in the control group? Nobody knows.
Right. But wait,
it's Shippensburg, Pennsylvania.
You
I can imagine.
You were talking about like sad jobs.
No, but it's just piggybacking off what you're saying. Like the idea that. In Amsterdam, there are these great brothels that take care of the women, and they have. I just think it's the same kind of thing where you're like work in a great restaurant, and then you work in McDonald's. I don't know. I think there's
or also you work in a McDonald's with a great manager,
right?
Like I think,
or you work
it
in
a
McDonald's
a,
with a shitty manager,
right?
Yeah.
Or I think if you worked in a McDonald's with a great manager and great coworkers, it could be so much better experience than working at a fine restaurant with a
with
shitty
assholes. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, your boss matters more than the job.
Right.
My dad used to always say that.
Really?
He's like, your boss is the most important thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you could have like a really cool job, but if someone's like riding you and making you feel like shit, and you're like scared all the time, and like. You just can't. And that's
like,
what you're doing every day.
It's like what we're doing here with Taylor Moore.
Oh, my God. You guys,
our
Taylor
producer.
Moore. Is anyone listening?
Oh, my God.
I'm
help
scared.
Us. We don't want to be doing this. No, but I think if you're in a position where.
You guys said that on mic. You know that, right?
I tried to whisper. I think if you're in a terrible job, you're in a terrible job. And I think there is emotional baggage that goes along with a lot of things. So I think it might be oversimplifying by saying a lot of us have done jobs that we don't want to do. So I think the idea behind in the adult industry is that it's like that was your last option or something. But I think for some people that
it's
I've
not.
Talked about that have
oh,
done
I
it, it's their first time. Like they want to.
But
are
that
people
makes
who,
me sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like that makes me sad that somebody would think that that's their first option. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
well,
it's also
me too.
Like,
but I try not to project my own shit too, because I couldn't agree with you more.
But
and,
I get sad when people want reality shows. Like I get really sad.
It's a different form of prostitution.
And that's a huge thing that kids want these days. Is they want to be reality stars. It's like so common among little kids, and that That actually makes me much more sad.
I know.
Yeah, that's awful.
But you know, the funny thing is the 177
toddlers
that were
and tiara
the control group was all reality stars, yeah, right. against porn stars, and they lost.
Dr. Drew did that study of narcissism. Like, he had every single guest that was on Loveline for years and years do a narcissist survey, and he discovered that. And he didn't say, like, this is a study whether or not you're a narcissist.
Right, I know, but he just gave him questionnaires.
Yeah, yeah. And he discovered that the absolute off-the-charts narcissists were reality stars, which makes sense.
That does make sense.
Well, it's people who believe that they're worth watching all the time.
Yeah, right. Just doing their mundane bullshit that everyone
doing
does.
Doing anything. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, Loveline is our main competitor.
Yeah, we just...
Well, but it's not Adam and Dr. Drew anymore. They had a special magic.
No, no. They did. Yeah. They
I
did.
Mean, I it's grew like up, Stryker or something.
I grew up listening to that.
Yeah.
Like every night before
Me too.
Bed.
Me too.
I learned to read the signs.
What's the next Loveline that's coming on?
I don't know.
All right. It's this.
It's
speaking of Loveline, we have a segment here called Listener Love, where...
Listener mailbag.
Real folks from all around the world write in, call, grab us in person, what have you, to get advice on their hearts and parts. So
we hope we can help them. This first one is
help them, Tammy.
Comes from Clyde in Miami, and he wrote us an email at menageatrois.radio@gmail. He says, "I lost my wife last year to a drunk driving accident."
Oof.
Starting heavy. She has an identical twin sister who just lost her husband to cancer. Here we go. I've been obsessing over her for weeks now. I want to call her and go out with her. I think I'm in love with her. Is there any way we can start up a healthy relationship?
I think that's starting from a really bad place.
Yeah. Well, you're sad, Clyde.
You're
first
really
and foremost,
sad.
So you're making decisions from a sad place.
And the fact that you can't stop thinking about her for weeks, but you haven't been in touch with her,
mm-hmm.
I think that's all just... It sounds like you're coming from a really sad slash obsessed place.
I think it's
perfect.
There's two of them. It's just...
You hit the lottery. You lose one and you can have another.
I'm kidding. Clyde, this is really unhealthy. And you're probably... I think there's a lot of like... what's it called? Transference or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you're like thinking about your wife and someone who appears like her physically.
Ooh, you know? That's the trick. See, that's the tricky part for me.
Talk to someone. I think you should talk to someone.
Yeah. Not her, but someone else.
Yeah, I think definitely seek a therapist. I dated an identical twin for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so
twins
did you...
are weird.
Would
Sorry.
You have ever... Yeah. So as an identical... Like, obviously, as you get a little older, they change
up.
A little physically.
I was young. I was like 16. But I'd had a crush on his brother the year before.
Oh, geez.
So I totally did that fucking thing.
Okay.
Yikes. You like are this person.
Well, yeah.
Your alter ego is Clyde.
And that's
Miami.
Why I'm like, Clyde, don't do it. It's not great.
All right. So this didn't end.
Wait, it was fine. I mean, it was like a summer.
Nobody died.
Math camp fling.
Right.
I grew up with identical twins, Sam and Pete Hauser. Hope they're listening. And I never dated any of them, but they had a cool car and they were nice kids. And they dated a couple of my friends like casually on summers and like whatever, young high school. And I remember people would be like, I just made out with one of them, but I don't know which one it was, you know.
Really?
Yeah, which sounds harmless compared to marriage and like this kind of thing that we're talking, death. But like they definitely were just interchanging these brothers.
I have to say, like, I definitely was not interchanging them. Like I sort of pride myself a little of all dumb things to pride myself on. Like when I have met identical twins, like the Sklar brothers, I'm always like, I always know which one is Randy and which one is Jason. Like I
That's
really,
awesome.
Well, for a long time, the one would wear glasses and one wouldn't, but I would like really.
Yeah.
But I think it was because of my experience with the other ones. But like when I got the crush on the other one, it was... They were so different. You know what I mean? Even though they look the same.
Well, personality, that's the thing. So, so obviously, but I assume if you've been married, you know her sister.
I think you're just in a really
You're
sad
in a bad
place,
and I think
Clyde,
you're trying to.
I think you should
just take a step back.
Yeah.
Take one full step back.
And then turn
try
the other direction.
Turn the other direction and go to a therapist.
Wait, try a new look. You've had that look.
Yeah.
Go for something new. All right, our second question comes to us from Gail from Scranton via, a bar in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
This woman actually came up and talked to
We told
to
her
us
we had a sex and relationship podcast, and she said, let me ask you about this.
And we're like, Gail, we're getting you on there. Okay, Gail asks, I want to try anal sex for the first time. I really do. I've heard mixed things. Is it worth a damn?
This is what Gail asked us.
How old is Gail?
Gail was an older woman. She was in her 30s,
late
30s,
I think. No, she was like 45.
She was 45.
She seemed like she's got a older lady.
Yeah. Older lady spunk to her. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, I think she's like, what are these crazy kids doing?
Yeah.
Well, now, speaking of Loveline, I have to say Dr. Drew came down pretty hard on the trend for anal. Like, I remember him getting really scared about a prolapsed anus was thrown out.
Oh, okay.
Is that when the pink sock comes out?
That's like when the sock falls out of your butt? That's when you start trying to get your stocking stuffers for Christmas put in that because it's just hanging out.
Okay, Jesus Christ.
I just ruined Christmas. Sorry. But you have to eventually wear like adult diapers, some people who have enough anal.
But now I feel like Dr. Drew is saying, because there was this big trend, especially with the whole like not teaching sex ed and like the abstinence pledge, mm-hmm. that people were going up the butt first before.
Right. I want to be a virgin.
You still consider yourself a virgin, yeah.
So she seems to be coming from a much healthier place, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
So I would just say lube it up.
Try it out.
Go slow.
Definitely use lube. Yeah. Don't do anything you're not comfortable with, but experiment.
Yeah.
Like, you're an older dame.
Yeah.
Have some fun.
Go for it. You're not trying to re-virginize.
No. You're not.
And it's better to prolapse your anus in your 40s because you've had a couple great decades with your butt tucked neatly inside your body.
And I don't think that that's what I think that was a Dr. Drew
horror story.
Fucking 15-year-olds who are thinking that this is the right way to go.
Don't start now and just constantly.
Is Dr. Drew your doctor?
He is. When I moved to LA,
you're like, Dr. Drew says, love it.
I totally bought his book. Like, I think it was called Crack. I met Dr. Drew in person when I checked into rehab. No, when I at some
for Coke Zero.
He's like, sorry, Tammy, we don't do Coke Zero.
There was some fundraiser that he was at, and I totally like went up into him and I was like, you don't understand, and like burst into tears because growing up, like,
for
it was a big damn deal.
Yeah, they taught me how to masturbate.
And it wasn't in the butt. He said, stay away from the butt.
I actually already knew how because I was a little perv. But, you know, their lady producer would always come on and be like, if you never had an orgasm, run yourself a bath and let the faucet drip on your clit.
That's so great, though.
No, it is great. I mean, that was a great show.
Yeah.
So Gail, as an older...
What did he say when you were like, I love you?
Oh, my God. He was so sweet. You could tell, like, for the audience, she just grabbed Murph's tit.
And my nipple is
whenever
rock hard.
Whenever I cut him off, I grab his nip.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a Pavlov.
He was super sweet, and I could tell, like, this happens to him a lot. Like, I think he's changed a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
And then I tweeted, like, met Dr. Drew tonight and burst into tears. People who know me will not be at all surprised just because I'm a burst into tears kind of gal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fucking tweeted. He didn't even tweet back. I think he direct messaged back. Or he, like, did some, like, classy move that was, like...
Too classy.
It was nice. It was nice. It was absolutely a pleasure. Like, it was just cool. Like,
that's great.
He didn't know who I was. I was just somebody in the audience, you
right.
know? It was just a sweet...
So he's a class act on top of being I'm helpful to people.
I love him.
Yeah.
You know what? I was just thinking of anal sex.
I've never had anal sex.
Never?
No, I feel like that's like lame, and I should, but I've just never had the urge.
I don't
to.
Know that anything's lame. That's the other thing I want to say to Gail.
In high school, my high school boyfriend, Jay, I was like, put your finger in my butt, and he did, and I just felt like I had to shit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I there was a while I kept reading, like, guys like it, finger their butt, and I just remember, like, trying that with a boyfriend, him being like, no, and I was like, great.
Fuck you, Cosmo.
That was a test. You passed.
I mean, here's the thing. There's two things. Anal for myself, in my own anus, I kind of liked it for a while. I experimented a little bit with it when I was masturbating with myself, just putting a finger and working around. Also with the prostate, you know.
Wait, do you put the left hand up your butt and jerk off with the right hand?
No, I'm a lefty jazzing. I jerk off with my left hand.
What?
Yeah. I'm not, the only thing I'm
Wait,
a lefty
I
is jazzing.
Call it jazzing.
Yeah, it's freeform
like jazz.
Hands. Yeah.
How do I just find this out?
I don't know. You've
Who
never watched.
Are you, Murph Meyer?
You've never watched me masturbate.
No, I always fall asleep.
I know.
He's like,
I'm like,
watch
me.
Watch. And
you
I'm like,
pass up. It's boring.
Do you fall asleep to the sight of him masturbating? That could be like your little lullabies.
Mm. Yeah, my dreams have been terrible.
Sweet dreams, yeah. With my right thumb in my butt and jerking off my left hand.
Yeah, I'm like, wash your hands before you come to bed.
But yeah, sexually, personally, I like, I kind of did a little bit for a while and not be okay with like some butt play. But also I have, this is very personal. I have,
personal.
I would say that
terrible
first one was very personal.
We're going to go even, well, maybe
I'm done with the personal.
No. I want to hear more personal.
I sometimes use personal as for more disgusting. So the disgusting part of it is I have terrible hemorrhoids. And so butt play has become like it.
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Table,
exactly.
Off the table.
And I have a disgusting, you know, I'm a hairy, you know, heavier, sweaty dude. So it's like my butthole's not the most attractive part of my body. So it's like, you know, asking people to even go anywhere near there. But at any rate, that's a personal thing. As far as me having anal sex with a lady, I think guys have this view of, or at least, you know, the cliched guy view is like, oh, the butthole. It's like this tighter, like young. There's like a strange attachment to it.
Your butthole's the same age as your vagina.
No, the butthole ages in dog years, I think, is how it works.
Yeah, I feel like my butt might have been getting more of a workout than my vagina.
Oh, no.
Healthy bowel movements. Yeah.
No, but, I was just trying to.
Sure.
Wait, are your hemorrhoids from your... drug years?
My drug years. My hemorrhoids. My opiates are sometimes I would go like almost a week maybe without having a bowel movement with the opiates.
Oh, that sounds so painful.
Yeah. And then when it would happen, it would just be like tiny, hard little bricks that didn't, I wasn't eating much. I wasn't moving much.
No
so
fiber.
It was
yeah,
no fiber.
No movement.
Heroin has no fiber, kids.
No, it's not as healthy as advertised.
All right. We got to move along.
Okay. Oh, yeah. This was a. So here's the final question. So your advice is just to have anal if you're old and you want to.
Move up.
Okay, so the last one is it was tweeted at us from Melanie via Twitter. This is a direct message on Twitter at Menage Radio. My husband has one weird tooth. I hate it. Okay, so that's all that's said.
Wait, I know this is like mean, but it's my favorite thing we've ever gotten.
All right.
It's not a question. It's so weird.
Wait, so hold on. Let me just to clarify, because I don't know. He only has one tooth or he has a full mouth of teeth, I imagine, and one of them's weird.
What I'm imagining is that he has one weird tooth and she hates it. And she's like, everything she hates about him, she's like focusing on this tooth.
That's exactly the tone of that. Yeah. I think you're totally right. Because I think of like Patricia Arquette. She's got that sexy snaggle tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jewel.
And I've always loved Steve Buscemi from
Yeah. And all of his teeth are weird.
Yeah. And
Every single one.
When you love somebody,
it doesn't matter.
You're into their janky tooth.
Well, that's the problem here is like,
You married the son of a bitch.
When flaws become like something, like Murph's like crying about his hemorrhoids and I'm like, they're cute. I love you. You know?
Aww.
I mean, I've never had to look at
that. I
can't
wait till the vows of your wedding. I love how
Preparation
you masturbate
H is
lefty.
Sponsoring.
No, but I just mean like when somebody's flaws become like adorable to you because you love them so much. This seems like she's like,
you're in a loveless marriage.
I think you're totally right that she focused everything on the tooth. It's not about the tooth. It's about the truth.
Oh, my God.
Blort.
We'll not get better than that.
We cannot do any better than that. Okay, we've answered some great questions for the folks of America and beyond. And now we're going to ask you some questions, m'lady.
Okay.
These are six sections, six rapid-fire sex questions. Number one, would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
From now, one.
Tammy Sager, what's the sexiest animal?
A lynx.
Who is your number one celebrity crush?
Oh, God.
Dr. Drew.
Right? But he's married. That's what's so fucking sexy about him. But that's also what takes away the...
Right.
You don't know.
The forbidden fruit of Drew.
Oh, God. I'm crashing and burning. I was psyched about the first two, and now I...
Just name a celebrity.
Jon Stewart.
Love it.
Nice.
What's the best song to have sex to?
Oh, I like some like old Etta James, maybe.
Yes. Hot tub, backseat, or bed.
I don't even have backseat. I want to try backseat.
Mm.
And...
Front door backseat.
You have to crawl over the seat. What is the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Oh, that's it. One is hard. Humor, kindness.
That was like a humaneness.
Humaneness.
Nice.
Those have been six sections with Tammy Sager. Those were great.
The Lynx. That's our first Lynx.
I love the Lynx. That's so fucking sexy.
It even has a sexy name, right?
Oh, yeah. Lynx.
Anything with an X is sex.
Like a minx, but the minx.
The minx is a...
It's too...
Or a T-Rex.
And you know what the lynx is like?
Those little
those
arms.
Tiny little...
Oh, jerk me off. You can't. Love you.
You can't reach. Yeah, the lynx. The lynx is a small cat. It's the smallest of the big cats, right?
I think so.
Which is sexy.
Yeah.
Because it's manageable.
Yeah.
But it's,
it's a delicate
beast. You get into a puma and you're in trouble. So the back seat, is that a, I think I always ask this when someone says back seat, but is that a nostalgic thing?
No, that to me is the part of it. Is like I never.
Oh, never make out point or whatever the hell.
Really?
The,
you were in
LA,
bro.
Never all the way. But right. Never all the way.
Never
the
for sex.
Yeah.
No, never all the way.
No, never
ever in my life.
And of course, front seat, back seat. Amazing.
Front door, back seat.
Yeah, front seat. What? All right.
Front seat, back door. Is it? That's
that's exactly what I don't want.
Yeah.
That's the opposite. So we're celebrating love here, and another way we like to celebrate love is in our PC spotlight, our wondrous power couple of the week.
You know her, golden sex pot, Southern Belle.
You know him, black and white, young and old, but always charming.
We're talking about Blanche Devereaux, née Hollingsworth.
And the men of Miami. This is a golden girl.
Oh my gosh.
We were a little, yeah. Because we usually do, you know, power couples as twos, but you know what? Blanche is so fucking dominant.
We just wanted to talk about Blanche.
I love it.
Yeah, so the revolving door, that was Blanche's suitors.
She was a sexually empowered golden woman.
Yeah, she was.
Totally. At a time where I think it was, you know, people were impressed by the sexual prowess of an older woman and just of a woman being like, fuck it, I'm owning it. I have many suitors. She was the original Samantha from
interesting.
The OG
to me.
Samantha.
Well, she
Sex and the City.
And the whole series kicked off in the pilot with her possibly settling down and her being.
Yes.
What if she had?
Test audiences said, no, we want Blanche to be loose.
No,
lube her up and send her on her way.
Yikes.
But no, that's how they all lived in that apartment together. So she hadn't been. And then you're right.
Well, she was a widower, right? Yes.
A widow.
Widower.
Yeah, she was
a
widower.
Is a dude.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, like a warlock would be a widower. And a widow is the
that's
witch.
That's like SAT. Warlock is to witch as widower is to Blanche.
Blanche Devereaux.
Like, fuck, I know this. Blanche Devereaux.
Yeah, so she was amazing.
Yes, she was. She was. Fun fact, Betty White was originally asked to do that part.
Oh, man.
And she was like, you know what? I already did it. And Mary Tyler Moore was Sue Ann.
She was Sue Ann. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then she fucking made that.
And she killed Rose. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now Rose everybody forgot that she was a big slut back in Mary Tyler Moore
Damn.
Days.
Damn.
That
went from
goes
slut
to show
to bimbo.
Women, you can always be a slut as long as you play someone else after.
Yeah. As long as you go dim bulb after her.
And
you can always play the idiot.
So, yeah. But her, I mean, I always felt. Now, growing up watching Golden Girls.
Was Blanche sexy to you?
Blanche was sexy to me, was extremely sexy to me, which was younger watching it, yes. Because I caught it on the tail end when I was younger. I
love all the butt sex references.
So many tail, yeah. I caught it on the anal end of Golden Girls. But growing up, I remember watching it and rewatching it now as older, like really well-written show, really funny,
it's
great.
It's shocking,
it's
right?
Actually, because you just think of it as like, oh, another sitcom that was on.
No.
It was
we were spoiled a little bit.
It was tight like a butthole.
It was tight like a little butthole.
Tight like a butthole.
Shine tight like a butthole.
It had like Mitch Hurwitz. It had like crazy
Yeah, it had legit writers on there and producers.
And amazing comedians, like four
all
super
of those women.
Seasons.
I mean, coming off of Maude.
Bea Arthur.
Bea was killing it.
Maude, the maybe possibly the only sitcom that dealt with abortion.
Yes, well, that's Bea in the 70s was revolutionary for sure. That was there was nothing else discussing
like
that kind of stuff.
Now you can't even really. I don't even know that you can say
backwards?
The word abortion now, like standards and practices.
You have to say schmishmortion. That's what Judd Apatow does.
Yeah, they did it in Knocked Up, but like on standards and practices, they don't even.
Yeah, do they give you when you're writing for How I Met Your Mother or whatever television show you're writing? Do they give you? I mean, you know standards and practice. We all have heard of it, but do they give you actual guidelines or do they just edit your scripts?
So you. There's sort of
like, is there a list where they're like,
no,
don't touch this?
There's not a list, no. But there is, but after a script, there's always like.
But is it kind of like unspoken rule where you know you couldn't come in with like
an abortion episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could, that's what's so crazy. You couldn't do what?
Not at
the
like
trail that
8
was blazed.
O'clock on a Monday night.
You know what's weird though? Like, I'm going to get on my soapbox here.
Jump
like,
up.
It's the youth that need to know about those things and like how they're handled responsibly and like the politics of it and the family aspects of it. Like just completely not showing it to them seems like retarded to me. And I feel like they always do that with, they're like, it's too early. It's too young. And I'm like, that's the people who need to know. Like I'm 31. I don't need to learn about abortion.
Well,
other people do.
Yeah.
You know?
It's young. It's youth. Really short-sighted. It's the thing of the abstinence pledge or teaching abstinence. Well, that's what happened in Alaska. Right under Palin, they went to not they having sex ed, and what happens? Her own high school age daughter gets pregnant.
Up.
Yeah,
that's
and
terrible.
That was because of sex.
Yeah, you got to teach protection. You know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's that ideal that like, oh, no one will, if we don't talk about it, no one will do it, which is absurd.
And it has ramifications now because like a friend of mine, she has a friend who's like 30 years old who's like, we do the rhythm method, and it's like, what?
What? Yeah, that's not real birth control.
No, and that I remember learning that when I was 14 years old, like. Mm. There's like, yikes. No, there's no sperm in pre-cum. It's like, are you crazy?
Yeah. There's more sperm in pre-cum.
Well, and it's also the Catholics.
Evolutionarily.
With no birth control, period.
Because they want to make sure you're pregnant.
I did not
even
know that.
Even if a big animal comes and like attacks the cavemen while they're humping, they at least got some sperm out.
Oh, that's so smart.
Oh, boy.
That may not be true.
But I like that.
We're
going to
sell it as truth. Yeah, yeah. Full on truth. So Blanche Devereaux.
Blanche.
She was incredible. And this I also think just character. The way, I mean, it's Rue McClanahan playing the character, of course, and all the actresses were amazing in Golden Girls. But I think the way that she presented the character, like they never flinched. It wasn't, there was no like wink to the camera of like, I'm kind of a slut and I'm doing this like slutty thing.
Well, not
she was she was truly a sexually empowered woman who went through this tragedy. And was trying to just find, because she was ultimately trying to find love, I feel. That's the way I feel about Blanche. She was trying to find her next partner. She
wasn't. Night by night. Well, I was going to say, because like I love Sex and the City, so I don't mean to diss this at all, but there were times when Samantha became like a one-dimensional, like, I just want to fuck. You know, and I feel like Blanche wasn't, they were still like friends living together, dealing with life problems. So it wasn't this like one note.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like sex pot. It was also like whatever.
And she was just, it was nice to see a lady like. In her, I just picture her in a satin negligee all the time.
Oh, I did it often as a young man. I know. It's like this, but I didn't
Is
grow
that
up.
Is why you're marrying a cougar?
Yes, I'm marrying a cougar.
Guys,
3 months my senior. two and a half months my senior. all right. So
Blanche,
sexy as all. I'll get up and go.
All right. We want to see you in action.
All right.
Tammy, you've gotten a lot of softballs here, but this one's going to be rough.
Now we get to the hard-hitting stuff.
We're going to pull you on over to Virtual Sugar.
Pucker up,
so are you currently single?
I am.
Okay, this
All right.
is great.
So this is perfect.
Well, okay, so I have many questions about this segment, but let me let you introduce it first.
No. Go ahead. All right. So it's just a real OKCupid profile.
So it really is
real.
It is real.
It really is
what
real.
We think we know about you. We've
and then an improvised
gone
date.
On OKCupid and we've been like, what's a good match?
I wasn't sure if it was like you. I know you said it was from OKCupid, but I didn't know.
We basically just go on OKCupid and find funny profiles that we think would match up. Like,
awesome.
We didn't know
We try to use specifics
so
to inform.
To find something fun.
Okay. So then the other part of me was like, I just want to discuss profile. And then I realized like, oh, the part of me that's so fucking scared of online dating is even scared of improvising
an online date. Have you done online dating?
I did it once years ago and I ended up dating this like Israeli dude for a few weeks. And then it was in LA. And then it was like, I don't know, after 3 or 4 dates, I was like, I don't want to see him anymore. And I remember him like calling a couple times and me just like, doing the LA flake on him.
The LA
like
flake.
Eating a salad and flaking out.
There is such a flakiness in LA.
Yes.
Really?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I remember being told about it when I moved from Chicago and being like, no, there's, you know, I know all these people from Chicago. And then I.
Wait,
just,
so you went from Chicago to LA, which is
Chicago
like Midwest sensibilities into crazy phony LA, which must have been a.
And the thing is I know.
How dare I condemn an entire city? Who am I?
I know so many people who are not. Most people from LA are. I mean, most people who live there are not from there, but there is a flakiness there that I absolutely am part of, where it's like you can cancel at any point.
Well, and you want to be able to do that. So if everyone's doing it, it kind of sneaks into you.
It sneaks into it. And then you get to the point where you're like, God, I hope. This my friend who I want to see cancels because I'd rather just stay in than like
I feel
drive
that way in New
Venice.
York, but you know what I say? The F train's not running.
Oh,
that's
see.
What you do in New York.
In L.A., you're like, the oil in my car needs to be changed.
No, L.A., you just don't call, right?
Yeah, no, or in L.A., you're like, God, I just am not up for it. And then the person's like, I totally get it.
So you haven't had a lot of...
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It is, but it's not good. It's no, it not sets good you up for humanity. Yeah.
So your online dating experience has not been positive.
Well, no, it was going to be great.
It was okay. And I
feel like you're going to nail it.
I feel like I need to do it again. Like, I keep, like, psyching myself up, and my friends... Elizabeth and Andy, they were like, we're going to write your profile for you. And I'm like, okay. Like, because I don't want to do any part of
it. I'll send you my profile. It's really good.
Do you still have one?
Yeah. Well, that's another story that we
Well,
may not
real
have time
quick before
for.
We do this,
okay.
Let's just
well,
say.
Well, okay. Yes. I do have
you
an OKCupid
profile.
You are
an engaged woman.
She's yes. an engaged woman with an OKCupid profile.
I ain't married yet. No, that's not it.
She's
no,
still dating.
No.
She doesn't. She does not respond to any of the requests. But my thing is,
no, I don't even log
we
in.
Both have OKCupid
okay,
profiles.
Had one. Why do I
we
know
We had
this?
One beforehand.
Because we're dating, or maybe before we started dating, and you know what they tell you, good matches? Murph comes up. And I'm like, oh, my God. That's
we knew
the
each
guy
other, but it was before we were
in
dating.
In my Chris Gethard improv class. That guy that I think is kind of sexy, and we made out once and dry humped, whatever.
Wait, and what happened? You made out when?
We made out and dry humped before we
got together.
We first got together, and we
so
decided.
So we were both on OKCupid.
We were both on OKCupid. We were singles, mingling, but then we met each other, and we're like, oh, we want to work on projects together. We both think we're funny. We want to do stuff together.
Yeah, so we didn't make it romantic.
So
we never
tried
went
not to, but of course you dry hump. You know, the attraction
just
can't fight itself.
Once or a no.
couple times.
Like over a couple months. And then we were like, let's stop. We want to write a show together. Let's
and there
not
were no
show
hurt
we...
feelings over
no, no,
that.
No, no,
I felt
no.
like we were actually fine because I knew that we kind of both still liked each other.
Yeah. And then we took a few months off. We still did maybe some more OKCupid fooling around with trying to date other people or just kept it like
I dated that guy with one eye.
Yeah, the Cyclops on OKCupid. But then there are two of them and they're both great.
Two men, one eye.
But then, they only have one eye between them. They share it. But yeah, so then eventually we couldn't
so
fight
we
the
end
attraction.
Up together. We're like, get off OKCupid. He says he lost his password and he can't delete his account. And
Which
I
is
say,
true.
I will not delete my account until you delete your account. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while I get an email on my like DianetteLane@gmail.com. Don't email me there. Like it's like my just casual email. Yeah. And it's like, hey, Diana, like Scruffy Butthole is checking you out. Like, or
and
whatever.
I'm like,
I'm still on OKCupid, but I haven't logged in for 3 years.
Gotcha.
But I do not, I set up a specific email just for OKCupid, to have that so I wasn't getting spammed to my regular emails. And then I don't remember the password I said. I don't remember any of it. So I have no, I still
you
have
You could get off if you wanted to.
Well, if I wanted Scruffy Butthole, I would find him. All right. So at any rate, let's try
OKCupid. Okay. Let's give it a shot.
Let's try it here.
This
in the
is
studio.
Good.
Okay. So your date is, his moniker is the Muscles from Brussels. And he's going to take you to farm.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Look how fucking. I'm so sorry.
No, we need to. We're going to set this date up big time.
Okay.
No wonder.
Muscles
I know,
from Brussels.
You're
dating online.
Yeah, I know exactly. You just gave me this look. Like, really?
No,
muscles
from Brussels.
Is spelled with a C or not? Is he talking about the mollusk or the muscle? He's actually talking about muscles. Okay. Already,
but it kind of has a.
Already, it's not a match.
Already, he's got muscles. Fuck him.
He's taking you to pharmacy, which is an old timey Brooklyn ice cream shop.
I know that's adorable.
You know pharmacy.
Oh,
yeah,
it's adorable.
We live right by
there.
Okay, so this will be cute.
Yeah.
All right, so the Murph's going to play the date, and I'll play any, like, peripheral characters. Date starts now.
Hey, girl.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you laughing at my T-shirt? It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's like, I live here, and then there's an arrow.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Cool. So what do you, I mean, I like to order for my dates.
Oh.
It's like a thing that, you know, my dad taught me is passed down generationally.
Okay. Even when you don't know the person, you like to do that.
Even when I feel like I know people quicker than most.
All right.
Brownie sundae.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll go to town on that.
Excellent.
Hi, can I get you something?
Brownie sundae.
sorry, what? Brownie sundae?
Yeah. Sorry, just spit all over your.
Are you guys sharing
pad.
That, or can I get you anything else?
That'll be for the lady, and for the muscles, let me have a malt.
Do you mean
just
for
malt
you?
In a cup?
Do you mean for you?
For me.
Okay.
For the, I'm sorry.
Just like
was I not clear?
Powder?
The muscles?
Whoa, take it back.
Sorry.
I still have to charge you $8 because you're using one of the glasses.
Okay, just fill a glass with malt powder and hush. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I don't know this man. I'm going to go.
Okay.
Anywho.
You seem to exhibit sort of roid ragey behavior. Have you ever?
Yeah. Have I ever? I have ever. I always. Yeah. I mean, look, they got a pop. It up. They got
a
pop.
Oh, my God. Tammy, hi, girl.
Hey.
It's Rick. I haven't seen you since I L.A. flaked on your ass.
Rick, bro. Rick. Hold on, Rick, bro.
Oh, man, you we're walk both up... back in New York. This is awesome.
Shit, Rick, you walk up into a female where another male is clearly here. I've ordered us ice cream.
I didn't walk into a female. Dude, that's gross.
Okay, fair
Rick,
enough.
This is Klaus.
Hey. It's Klaus, the muscles from Brussels. I'm a big Van Damme fan.
Are you Belgian or just a
no,
freak, dude?
No, bro. I'm a fucking fan of Van Damme.
Tammy, you're with weird dudes these days. Who are you rolling with?
I wouldn't say we're together.
I mean, it's date one.
It's date one.
So we're kind of chatting about it.
Yeah. Rick, did you move here?
Yeah, I'm here like I'm in an episode of Girls, but I'm actually heading back to La La Land on the Mañana.
Oh, boy.
Cool talk, Rick.
I'm going to
so step
girl,
off.
Poke me on Facebook. I miss your ass.
You still
went off of Facebook, so that won't happen.
All right.
Don't force poke a lady virtually, Rick.
See you around.
Step off. Jeez, what a doof, huh?
I'm so sorry to bother you. I know
Jesus Christ.
I know you told me to hush, but we have two kinds of malt powder. Did you want chocolate malt or regular malt?
What's heavier?
Like weight-wise?
Yeah. What can a man with muscles deal with?
I don't know. It's my first day. And
stop
this is
crying
the
on the malt.
Order.
He'll just Tim. Do half and half. He'll just do half and half.
Good call, yeah. Girl.
Okay, bye. Sorry.
Please don't be sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt. There's so many apologies being thrown around. Look, I
Not
might have come off.
From you.
True. You know what? A real muscles don't apologize. They just get bigger.
Well, they can also get smaller. They can
if
also...
you don't pump.
All right. I feel like you're using this as an excuse to pump.
It's true. I'm trying to
I
pump.
I think you should use this as a rest day.
All right.
Okay.
Let me take. You know what? On the seventh day, I'm
what?
Also a Christian. The Lord rested.
Okay.
When he was building.
That's
pumping.
Also true for Jews. I think that's
Jews rest.
Gonna guess.
Jews
yeah.
rest.
That's the Shabbat.
All
yeah.
Right. Cool.
That's the Sabbath. Yep.
All right. So let's take the Sabbath off to just have a treat.
Guys, I'm so sorry. There's actually a kitchen fire. Everyone needs to leave.
Oh, okay.
Wait,
sorry,
a kitchen
I'm
fire?
So sorry.
Let me don't... pick you up and carry
nope,
you out.
No, that's
no,
not going to
okay.
happen. That's not going to happen.
Yikes.
Nope. God, you guys, I couldn't even commit to improvising that date.
Really?
I just was crumbling.
I felt like you were amazing.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was a really weird date. You did great.
Okay, but that we're not going to have a second date. I've listened
no
to other dates
date?
On this show, and everybody
They've
else
been
was
better.
Way much up. Other people would make out.
Well, I was a huge jerk, is the thing. I took
so
a stance
Rick.
As a jerk. Rick, yeah, there were two jerks.
Apparently, I have a lot of jerks in my background that you guys picked up
we
on.
We forced that on you. No, I'm
I
sorry.
I wouldn't have dated you, but I would have fucked you.
That would have been...
This isn't about me.
All right.
You know, I was really happy coming off that date. Now I'm really sad.
I feel the same way. I'm sad that we got
to
say goodbye.
Oh.
Damn.
I got all ready to comfort you.
I'm also so sad that I was so aggressive in
no,
a date with
no.
Tammy.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't.
No.
God, I'm not ready to on-late date, guys.
Well,
no, you shouldn't
I
be because there's a lot
now.
Of...
Oh, yeah, I think that was a good
If it's any better than that...
I'll be fine.
Yeah, all right.
Guys, check out all of Tammy's amazing TV programs. And if you want to see her perform live, she does Ask Kat, would it be correct to say in L.A. and New York now?
No, because I moved back to New York, so...
So you're
yeah.
doing New York
so
Ask
I just
Kat.
Do New York
Come
Ask
to UCBL
yeah.
New York.
Sunday night.
Yeah. Chelsea, Sunday nights.
Yeah.
There's a great group of folks.
Oh, she's a wonderful improviser.
Tweet at her, at Tambone.
At Tambone.
Which is a lot sexier name than my Twitter That's actually delivers.
If you're looking for saucy tweets, go to @Tambone.
Guys, don't forget to tweet at us at Menage Radio. We want to thank our lovely producer, Taylor Moore.
Thank you, Taylor Moore.
Also, check us out online, menageatoisradio.com, and email us at menageatoisradio@gmail.com.
Please do it.
We want to hear
do.
Your questions, thoughts, dick pics.
Snap some pics and send them to us. Dick, tit, asshole,
pics.
Porn star
happy people, unless they're not.
professional dick pics.
The Lynx is a sexy motherfucker.
Sensual jams provided by French Horn Rebellion. Hear more at FrenchHornRebellion.com.